And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
They roll the sidewalks in this town all up after the
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us a part of your Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. Is it Wednesday?
Who knows? Worked Sunday, worked Friday, probably did something Saturday.
Is it Wednesday, Sarah? Yes, okay.
It is good. Wednesday.
All right, I got it. Thursday, Friday, back-to-back, and then Sunday. That's how I keep track of my calendar during jazz season.
Yep. Sunday.
What games do we have this week?
Yep.
The season is rapidly coming to a close. We'll talk some jazz coming up here. You doing well, Ben? Having a good morning?
Incredibly well.
Wow.
Got to watch Talen Horton-Tucker last night. Cook for 24 points.
Before we dive into that, I'm glad we're doing this on a Wednesday. As a station, we're launching this feature as a part of our app, but this is kind of our official launch of it on the show. And I'm so excited that we have this capability because it's called the call-in feature on our app. So you can download the app, and then Sarah, you just open it up and click call-in? Is that simple?
So it records a message, kind of like if you have an iPhone, like an audio message. It records a 60-second message you can send into the show, and then I can play it on air.
This is a great way, I think, to interact. We had something similar a few years ago. And, Ben, not to get into the too far into the radio weeds, mm-hmm. but I've always thought one of the great parts of radio is interaction. Now, it used to be, phone calls. And let's line up the phones. Let's get out of the phones. Bob from Clearfield. Society kind of evolved past phone calls. And, phone calls weren't always the best radio. So, radio kind of evolves and we went to texts. And, there was a theory that social media would be a good way to interact with listeners. And I never really bought into that theory per se. And it's an okay way to interact with listeners, but I don't think is as effective as some other ways in the past. And so I like this way because we can get our listeners' voice. We can do some editing if there needs to be editing. We can place it into the show. Like I feel like it can be really effective. And especially on a day like Wednesday, where we've got What You Got Wednesday coming up at 11:30, which it always seems to anger the majority of our listeners. And they can weigh in and they can participate and we can really use our listeners to be a part of the show, which I'm very excited about.
Love to hear it. I'm excited to hear it. It's not a feature I've ever used before. So, and I know it's new for the app. So download the KSL Sports app and give it a shot.
Go to the call-in feature. You can record up to 60 seconds of audio. And then what do? Just hit send or enter or whatever, Sarah. And it's that simple. It'll go right to Sarah in the control room, and we can use it if needs be, if it's a good call or whatever, if it's a bad call. I just can't wait to hear how many listeners call in every time Ben is wrong about something, which is just constant.
We don't have the bandwidth. We don't have the server space.
Going to be...
handle those 60-second audio clips
gonna
every
be
time
wild.
I get something wrong.
I mean, just wild. So, yes, KSL Sports app, download, call-in feature. Interact with the show. We're excited about it, and especially today at 11:30 when we do What You Got Wednesday. Brian Taylor will join us from the Masters at 11:50 to wrap up the show. So we're going to be very busy today. Are you going to be dialed into the par 3 today?
Nope.
Matt, the Masters?
I will not.
No? Why not?
Well, I mean, if someone hits a hole-in-one, I'll see the replay on Twitter.
And then hurts themselves celebrating?
And then dislocates their ankle walking backwards. Yeah, you know, par three. I'll watch the Masters this weekend. We'll get to squeeze in. We got a lot of basketball still. Thursday,
you know,
Friday,
what?
Sunday, like you said.
If we're going to make that joke, though, and talk about that situation with Tony Finau where he hurt himself celebrating, we have to, and Bob mentioned this yesterday, I feel like you have to finish the story by saying he played and finished top 10.
Yeah, the grossest looking ankle after he showed those pictures, and it was black and blue. And
right.
Yeah. No, unbelievable.
So, you know, we teased Tony for injuring himself celebrating.
No, that was awesome.
But we should mention that he played in the tournament and he finished top 10 after dislocating his ankle, which is incredible.
It was great. He's our best local sports product right now.
Oh, well, Britton Covey would disagree. He was on the morning show this morning.
Cool.
Local, let me think. Meaning born here?
Yeah, like local product. You can even say played college here. Like Jalen Johnson just signed a huge deal with the Chicago Bears.
I don't think Tony is quite Dame.
Okay, Dame is probably number one.
But like, but born here? I don't know, Sam Merrill is a big deal these days.
Sam Merrill's cooking? Yeah.
I feel like we're missing somebody.
No, I still think it's Tony. I still think it's Tony.
Yeah, but I feel like there's an obvious candidate maybe we are ignoring. Mike Weir wasn't born here, but he actually won the Masters.
Yeah. Whoa. Taking a shot at Tony.
He did.
Wow.
It's just a fact.
Starting the day, taking a shot at local hero, Tony Finau. I guess I'm watching the par three tournament because it's on.
It is on. Scotty Scheffler. This guy, heavy favorite.
As long as he putts well. That's what I've heard. Should we talk some hockey? You want to talk basketball?
Well, let's talk basketball. You started off the show talking about hot dog. It sounds like you have something to say.
No, I really don't. Hockey's far more interesting. The hockey news this morning is a huge deal.
All right.
The NHL is putting together two schedules. One for if the team is playing in Arizona and one if the Yotes, what I'm going to call them is the Yetis, are going to be playing in Salt Lake. Like, this is absolutely a contingency that the NHL is prepared for. We could be talking about NHL opening day in October. Not 2 years from now, not 3 years from now, not 2034 when the Olympics are here. Next season, 2024, this year, we might have a hockey team playing in Salt Lake City. It's unbelievable.
What I like about it is jump on the opportunity and we'll work out the details later. Like, The Delta Center is not a terrific place to watch hockey. It's just not. Like, there are swaths of the arena itself that you can't see, like, a third of the ice. And it's just not how it was built, right? There's a reason that during the Olympics, hockey was over at Maverick Center.
Even now, with the proposed buildings for 2034 that they just announced, last week, of which facilities would be used, they still don't have Delta Center as the hockey arena. Now, that could change if it is a full-blown NHL arena by then, but they are still not planning to use it.
But don't let mere details get in the way of nabbing this thing. It's not dissimilar to what you were talking about yesterday with the Jazz waiting in the weeds for Giannis to get sick of Milwaukee. You know,
yep.
The Coyotes situation is a mess. If you missed it yesterday, we talked to a columnist from Arizona who also does a radio show, and he went into detail just what a mess it is. So jump on it. You're like, yeah, hey, we're here. And I know you can't just go in there and push that guy out, you know, or
yeah,
you don't want to or whatever. You can't Donald Sterling that guy. So he's got to exhaust his efforts because he currently owns the team. But we're right here. Oh, you want us to do it in the fall? Yeah, whatever. We'll do it. We got some ice. You're currently playing in a college, Arizona State's parking lot. We got something that's better than that.
I have no idea how you go NBA floor one night, ice the next. I mean, I know they play over the ice. The ice is permanent, and they stack it over top. But I know that's not how teams love to do it. But
they do it in the same day, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, you think of the amount of events going through crypto. Isn't that what it's called now?
Yeah.
Two NBA teams and an NHL team, then that all play in the same season?
Yeah, right. Overlapping. Why the Clippers are trying to get their own building.
So that's a challenge that's been tackled a long time ago.
But our friends from Arizona Sports, The NHL is currently drafting a 2024-2025 schedule that includes two versions. One has the Coyotes playing in Arizona. One has them playing in Salt Lake City, according to the Daily Faceoff's Frank Cervalli. And then the other important part of the Daily Faceoff article is an announcement on a sale and relocation of the Coyotes could come as soon as April 18th, the day the Coyotes' final regular season home game.
Oh, man. I bet this is a signal, I think, Ben, that the NHL is done with Morello. And the rest is honestly
and
just
And that the deal might be
red
as good
tape.
As done.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it might be finished and I don't know. But that's great news. I mean, it's great news for our community. It's great news for sports. It's great news for the neighborhood in which we currently sit. And you and I both spend an incredible amount of time in this two-block radius.
Yeah.
And it'd be awesome to see it get a facelift.
We've talked a little bit about the finances. Sources briefed on the ongoing discussions indicated Morello could receive up to $1 billion for the Coyotes. The exact figures of the proposed transaction are speculated, and all details and mechanics of the proposed deal remain fluid. There was another number thrown out there of $1.2 billion, which the $0.2 billion, $200 million, would be used as a relocation fee and distributed to the rest of the NHL. So,
you know what's interesting about Ryan? And hey, I'd love to have this problem someday, but he doesn't seem to care much about the price tag. Meaning he's not like, and I think this is smart, by the way, because I don't think sports franchises value is going down anytime soon. But with the Jazz, do you remember how they negotiated the price with the Millers?
He Googled the Forbes price, right?
Yeah. And he said, all right, that's it.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
And I'm sure he had advisors who were saying like, hey, you could probably negotiate that down a little bit. And he's like, I don't care.
I bet the Millers probably had some advisors that, hey, you could probably get more for them if you wanted to do that. But they met in the middle.
Remember Steve Ballmer outbid everybody by $1 billion for the Clippers just because he didn't want the nuisance of
bidding. The chance of losing.
Of bidding.
Yeah.
And
smart investment.
No, it's all smart investment. That's why I would love to have the ability to do this, but why Ryan's smart. He's not playing hardball. There's no point. And I've come back to this a few times, Ben, but sports franchises, it's a dirty little secret amongst billionaires, is the world's best place to park your money. It is.
Right now, it's a great investment, yep.
Because you're never going to get a better return anywhere else. It never loses value. I mean, even Major League Soccer, who's expanding like crazy, where you'd think you're oversaturating things and these values of these franchises are going to go down. They have not, even in Major League Soccer, they have not gone down. Not in the last, 10 years probably?
And?
I mean, look at Larry Miller, speaking of the Millers. His original investment was?
$50 million? The 20 and then 25, 45, something like
that.
Yeah, I think it was 20 for the first payment, 25 for the second.
And sold for?
$1.5 billion.
Over?
30 years.
30 years?
Yeah, you're not making that return on investment anywhere else.
Anywhere else?
No, that's a great deal.
Right.
You've done well.
So,
and worst case scenario, you can sell the team. Someone will come in and buy it and take it out of your town.
Exactly. So it doesn't make any sense, really, to nickel and dime these types of situations unless you have to, right? And so I think it's a good sign. He's just, whatever. Bill too, whatever. Let's make this happen.
Yep. It's crazy. I mean, Jake, I'm a local. I grew up here. I know you spent most of your life here. I know you grew up in Charlotte for a time too, but this has always been the thing. This has always been kind of that goal that seemed unreachable. How do you get the other team here? I firmly remember that, are the Minnesota Twins going to move here? I remember Larry H. Miller saying I had the paperwork on my desk to sign and buy the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he decided to pass on it.
Twins.
It's always been, the Twins, excuse me, not the Timberwolves, the Twins. It's always been the thing. It has always been the unreachable item to bring another professional sports team to Salt Lake City. And if Ryan Smith finds a way to do it, you've got to tip your cap to him. He did something that has been talked about and lots of other people have discussed, but bring one of the major four franchises. I don't want to dismiss soccer.
Four leagues.
Rugby. Leagues, soccer, rugby, et cetera, and all the professional leagues that we have playing here right now, but one of the major four. And bringing an NHL team here to Salt Lake City would be an enormous deal and a great accomplishment.
Agreed. NHL always seemed like the most doable, though. Don't you think?
I mean, NFL was certainly the least. And I just kind of always assumed Major League Baseball because we had talked about the Twins and had heard about that for a while. But quickly, NHL took over.
Well, we're a winter sports town. You know, the Olympic connection and all that, that seemed to make a lot of sense. The fact that the Jazz and the hockey team can play in the same building is makes it easier. And as you, I mean, you laid out this case, I guess, earlier in the week, that the NHL moves a lot. And they expand a lot, and they're the least stable of those four, which means that easier to get. I always thought NHL seemed more feasible. And now we'll see, you know, if and when Major League Baseball lands in Salt Lake, that'll be yet another coup. But, yeah, I think – and I actually think it's important for hockey to get a foothold here maybe before baseball because, I don't know, do you think baseball has a better chance of success?
I see zero chance of – failure for baseball.
I don't think I see much chance for failure for hockey either.
I don't think so either, especially in the state of Utah, where it's going to be our next thing. It would be a little bit more iffy if it was the third franchise to come in.
Let me look up where I read this morning. I can't remember exactly where, and I want to give credit, but there's a, you know, an article out there about the hottest job markets in the country. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about how these sports are investing in Salt Lake and in its future and to you, in Utah, certainly, not just Salt Lake. But the number one hottest job market in the country is?
Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City.
Yep.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a pretty booming town. And I think stuff like that is why I, you know, you say chance of failure. You know, of course, everything has a chance of failure. You've got to run it right. You got to market correctly, got to win eventually, you know, all those sorts of things that certainly make it more complicated. But the chance of failure, I think, is extraordinarily low.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think that we, meaning our community, and I don't mean to speak for everyone, but we love sports here. It's funny, you go to Pac-12 Media Day, Ben, as you've been many times, and these other markets that are bigger than Salt Lake, how much do they care? Almost none.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Seattle and Portland will kind of send some radio stations and maybe a TV station and a writer or whatever. But, I mean, nowhere near the passion of this market. And, by the way, they're not feel – you know, if Utah and BYU play home games on the same day, football, Ben, we're talking about well over 100,000 fans at both stadiums. You know, and I know there's some places in the South that sell 100,000 fans, like Tennessee or whatever, but very few, I think, situations like Oregon and Oregon State aren't putting 100,000 fans in the seats every week. That's not happening. Washington and Washington State aren't doing that. Certainly not Cal and Stanford. How much does the Bay Area care about, you know, sports? The Niners, yeah? Kind of the Warriors? The Giants?
It sounds like a knock. I live here. I'm talking about myself. There's not a whole lot else to do.
Certainly not in the wintertime unless you're, you know, big into skiing or snow caving or something like that.
You're not skiing at 7 o'clock at
night. Yeah, right.
You know, like, summer, in all honesty, it's a great positive. It's a real strength here. One of the shows is the sports teams we have. It's great.
Summer is a little different, and that is something that baseball will encounter. But baseball has the advantage of being outside, and that sort of thing is kind of the point. But we were talking about this, Jamil, Coach, and I were, you know, of course, the future of the WNBA is a hot topic, and they play at the wrong time of year. And I was thinking about the attendance numbers that we went over with the WNBA and who's drawing and who's not, and it was the top two were Vegas and Phoenix. And what do those two towns have in common in the middle of the summer?
It's too hot to be outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too hot to be outside.
It's too hot to be outside.
I want to be indoors.
Right. And I think that plays a role. Now, baseball incorporates that wonderfully because the game is slow and it's great to be outside and in person. And the romance of the beer and the hot dog and the peanuts and all that sort of thing, you know, kind of plays into the time of year. But as far as, you know, stuff to do in the wintertime, it's go to games.
Yep.
No. And just jump on board. And we love it.
No, and it's going to get that new car smell for 3-4 years? I mean, just the fact that it's going to be a novelty, much less if they become good, if they invest in the team and play well and find a way to win, we'll take it. I mean, we'll take anything, but if you can turn this into a winner, if it can benefit off of something that they weren't able to do in Arizona, which is kind of feed off of the success the Avalanche have had and feed off the success the Golden Knights have had and kind of stir that up into talent and quality and interest, we'll take it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah. And we have the funding in place to make a really nice facility, which, of course, is necessary. But yep. I like the fact they're not letting that stand in the way of getting the team
first.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put them somewhere, you bet. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. We renovated a whole building around a radio station.
Yeah.
We could incorporate a hockey team.
I was thinking about this the other day. Man, you got to hire everything. Like, so many people work at the ZBBC. I have to go over there for jazz practice. Like, I was there 2 days ago doing practice interviews. You got to hire all those people for hockey. And then you got to build a whole new building. And, like, where do they put the player locker room for the hockey team? And the, you know what I mean? Like, you're not sharing it with the jazz players. They're, you don't have Jaromir Jagr and Walker Kessler sharing a...
I don't think Jaromir's still around.
He might be. Well, I'm not sure. Well, you gotta go get some of those old names to bring him in.
I think he's playing over in Czechoslovakia.
Bring him in. Big name. Building a winner for cheap.
I think he's 52.
Well, those are the faces I want to see from my childhood.
Yeah.
What's Yzerman doing?
Bring that guy back.
How's Fedorov? Is he still out there?
Sergey?
Bring him in. But regardless, I mean, I was just thinking, the amount of infrastructure you have to put in, you have to hire 50 new people. Just to, like, run the business side of it.
Yeah, I did work for the Jazz for a while, I remember.
Or you just bring everybody up from Arizona, I guess. Like, you could transfer a lot of those people. Not everyone's going to want to move to Salt Lake, though.
Oh, they're going to can all those people just for sport.
That's Ryan's MO. He's going to roll into the front office. I mean, that's a very Phoenix thing to do. That's what the last people, that's what the Sarvers were doing with the Suns.
Patrick Roy, 58.
Roy. But I know. You got the R. He's fine. He's fine. What's Bobby Orr doing?
He's probably 6 feet under. When...
What? Bobby Orr's dead?
No.
He might be. He very easily could be.
He easily could be. No, he's 76. Very okay. much living.
Good. Put some skates on him.
Bring him back.
See if he still knows how to tape a stick.
I'm looking at pictures from his playing days. No
helmet.
No helmet.
Yeah. Famous the dive.
Pretty tough guy. You playing that sport with no helmet? How was that ever a thing?
Oh, I mean, we're going to get to the point. This will be a funny thing that we're going to be talking about over the next 2 years is hockey's going to mandate masks. Like the half mask or the no mask is going to be gone. It's going to be like a full cage.
Well, the no mask has been gone for a while.
No, some guys still wear no mask, right?
You got to
wear a
so.
Helmet, but some guys wear no mask still, I think.
I don't think so because it was when they changed the rule, it was like the early 2000s or something like that. And you're grandfathered in if you played before the rule. But I think everybody's long gone. Like Eric Lindros famously didn't play with a mask forever, but like he's 105 now too.
But we will see it.
All right, stay tuned. We've got the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I don't know if you were looking at me or not. You probably smile like that all the time. I don't mean to bother you, but I couldn't just.
Jake and Ben, want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests. And listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. The Masters gets underway tomorrow, Ben, And we're qualifying listeners to win prizes. It's the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're going to sign you a golfer. And if that golfer wins the Masters, you win that player's brand of driver, courtesy of the good folks at Uinta Golf. I love this promotion.
Very cool.
Plus, it gives our listener a little something else to root for. You know, a little stake in the game, so to speak.
Yep.
So caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. Time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the Jazz fall to the Nuggets.
Ben, you were saying how much you enjoyed watching Hot Dog play basketball.
Well, you know, this was not probably, it was a quick game. Wasn't the most painful game. Jazz were pretty competitive throughout, but if you're tuning in to watch the rookies play and what the future of this team might look like, I'm not sure that's what you saw last night, because I don't know what the future holds for Talen Horton-Tucker or Omer Yurtseven, who combined for 44 points last night of the Jazz 95. Of the Jazz 95.
I actually don't. Okay, like I don't think that hot dog and hoops is the key to winning basketball games. But I actually think it was effective last night for one reason. Because the young players, you mentioned the young players, they just stink right now. They just stink so bad.
They could not throw
the ball in the ocean. And so do you expect them to try and stay competitive or not? You know, if they didn't put Hot Dog in the, what'd he go in, at the end of the first quarter, Ben? They would have lost by 40 again. Because at very least, and we gave Talen Horton-Tucker his nickname Hot Dog, because he can go out and hot dog up a couple of buckets for you. And if nobody else is going to throw it in the, is going to be able to do anything offensively, you might as well let Hot Dog go shoot 23 times.
Yep.
And honestly, I mean, you mentioned that the game was, it was competitive. I mean, they got it down to three, and it was because of him. They would have lost by 30 if it was not for him. Because he scored when somebody had to, mm-hmm. or else they were going to finish the first half with 31 points.
It's the delicate insanity that is tanking games and trying to, like, develop players, but they're so bad because they're just not ready to win yet that it's almost bad for them that they're on the floor losing by 30. But if randomly they're too good and they're winning games, you don't want them to be playing. You know, it's just like...
But if you're a coach, I mean, I don't know if they have an entitlement problem, but it wouldn't surprise me. Like, if you're not going to get it done, I'm going to let Hot Dog go. I'm going to let Hot Dog eat.
Omer.
Yeah.
Like, I'll let Omer play.
Right. And so you send the message, too, to the young players that's like, we think you have potential, but you got to play.
Yeah.
You got to play and you got to run. And these fast breaks off made baskets have got to stop. I mean, you got to run back on defense. You can't just stand there. You got to do that stuff or you're not going to play. And so I don't think Will Hardy, Talen had a DNP on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Will Hardy wants to play Talen.
Oh, and he wouldn't have played had Colin Sexton been available, but he got sick right before the game.
So, but it sends the message like, this isn't what I want to do, but I'm going to do it if you're not going to play. And so I think it was effective in that way. And I don't think Talen shooting 23 times is the recipe to long-term success. And I don't think he's going to be long-term on the team. But that even makes the message louder. Like, this guy isn't a part of our future at all, but I'm going to play him.
And he's got a green light.
But he's going to play hard. I mean,
yeah.
Say what you will about Talen. And I'm not saying he's the world's greatest defender either, but he plays hard every time he plays.
Three more games left for the Jazz. Thursday against the Rockets, Friday on the road at the Clippers, Sunday they close it out against the Golden State Warriors. A lot of other good games, though, going on in the NBA. Again, if you're a basketball fan, tonight a huge game, Minnesota Timberwolves on the road at Denver, who we just saw last night. Both of those teams played last night, could determine who gets the top seed in the West. They're both tied right now. Minnesota's going to have the tiebreaker regardless of what happens. So Denver needs to win this game and then really win out.
Do you want the top seed in the West?
I do.
Does either of those teams, do you necessarily, is that a given that that's a good thing?
So you're probably going to play the Warriors in the first round. Seventh seed, there's a real good chance, the seventh seed, if you end up with the second seed and you play seven, you're probably playing the Lakers.
Right now, though, you would not be.
Right, they're playing each other right now.
Yeah, right now you'd be playing the winner of the Suns and the Kings.
Yeah.
Which I'd way rather play the Suns and the Kings than the Lakers or the Warriors.
Lakers are playing really well. Lakers are well over .500. They're like playing 65% win percentage over the last 20 games or 30 games. They're playing well.
Don't want to deal with LeBron in the first round if I can avoid it.
No, the fouls, all the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's 1,000 years old and the Lakers are far from unbeatable, but I mean, who do you want to play against in the first round? A extraordinarily flawed Suns team or LeBron?
There's some irony that the one team in the West that I've seen actually give the Nuggets consistent trouble this year is the Suns. They've kind of always just been hard to beat. They've lost in Denver. Like, the Suns
Did
have been hard.
Did you see the Suns start against the Clippers last night?
I screenshotted it. It was so good. 34-4?
Yeah,
my screenshot.
Something along those
35-4.
Yeah.
35-4, no Kawhi. And they were up 31 points in the first quarter on the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, oh, it's a mess. Now, the Suns are still have a puncher's chance because of those three players. But I think the Nuggets would be better suited against the Lakers than the Timberwolves would be because we saw the Nuggets swept the Lakers last year in the conference finals. And the Timberwolves' size, I think, would be really a lot for Phoenix to deal with.
And the Kings lost two of their key players and are no longer a factor. So if you can play the Kings.
Play the Kings.
Try and play the Kings. But
yeah, the West is going to be fun. The matchups are going to be fun. We don't know what they're going to be yet. Minus Clippers.
But I wouldn't want.
Or Clippers Mavericks in the first round.
But I just ask about the top seed because I wouldn't want the Lakers or the Warriors if I could help it.
I would want home court advantage. And I actually think that really matters for Denver because of the
altitude. It doesn't matter to anybody.
I mean, historically, it's mattered to Denver. Helped them last year.
Eh, they were the best team in the West last year.
Yeah, yeah. And they also, I think, only lost one game at home all playoffs.
All right, what's next?
Number two, Calipari hired by the Razorbacks at a reduced salary.
It's official. Was it $7 million a year is what we're seeing, his numbers?
Did you read kind of the reporting on the backstory that came out yesterday that... And maybe this is fake news, who knows. But that Coach Cal entertained the Arkansas offer to take it back to Kentucky to get a bump. And Kentucky said,
oh, cool.
Oh, you should probably take that.
Good luck with that. Absolutely good luck with that.
I mean, just the hubris, though, that Coach Cal would not know that the entire fan base has turned on him.
Yep.
That the university was probably considering paying that $30 million buyout.
And he's had a tumultuous relationship with the athletic director there for a long time. Well, at least as long as this athletic director has been there. Like, they are not – they're awkward. They're really awkward together because there's a power struggle of, like, who's the big dog here.
And to march into that AD's office, I'll take it. I will take it. And the AD's like, oh, that's so great. Yeah, you're really –
on the way out,
you're really solving
hit
a problem.
The copier, leave me a photocopy. You can just leave it in the tray. I'll grab it on the way out the door.
But just the lack of self-awareness is incredible. That the shine's off, Coach Cal.
And then Scott Drew seems like the overwhelming favorite now to take the Kentucky job. He is interviewing for the job.
I wonder why he would take it.
Kentucky is an easier place to win than Baylor.
Yeah, but bird in the hand, ball in the carpet kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I got a good thing going.
He does. He must believe in himself as a coach, and rightfully so. And then
yeah, sure, but
easier to recruit to Kentucky.
But Kentucky's win it all or you're the GOAT. I mean, that's what's getting Cal. That's what he was too arrogant to realize.
Scott Drew's a much better coach than Coach Calipari is and will have far more money to work with for his recruiting.
I think Scott Drew is terrific. I think that actually would be a home run for Kentucky. I just don't know if it's that big of a – would it be that big of a no-brainer to take it? I don't know. All right. What's next?
Number three, another update on getting the Coyotes to Utah.
So the big news this morning, if you missed it, we've got it at kslsports.com. The NHL is currently drafting a 2024-2025 schedule that includes two versions, one for the Arizona Coyotes to continue to play in Arizona and another for the team to play in Salt Lake City. You don't do that accidentally. You know, that is a pretty significant investment on how to play and what this has got to look like.
It shows me that I think the NHL has already moved on from Phoenix, or at least it feels that way, right? And maybe they're giving a Hail Mary option to somebody, but that feels like hey, we're out. We're just waiting for the ink to dry.
Well, let's put it in terms that we understand. Imagine if there was an NBA team, because we've all grown up with the Jazz and been here forever. We know kind of the inner workings of the NBA. Imagine if one season the Portland Trailblazers were playing in a college gym that seated 8,000 people. We're like, you got to get that team out of there. What are you doing? That team can't stay there. That's not tenable at all. Like, we would all recognize what an insane and toxic situation that would be, and that's exactly where the Coyotes are in Arizona.
So it feels inevitable.
Seems I agree with you.
I don't want to count chickens or whatever that thing is, but I mean, the fact that the league would do that, I've seen a bunch of franchises and a bunch of sports move, Ben. I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Season ends on April 18th. Sounds like there could be news of a sale as soon as then, though I wonder if they still want to go through the process of figuring out if they can buy that land and keep the hopes of holding on to the Coyotes and keeping them in Arizona alive, but the mayor doesn't want it.
There's no way. The mayor said, we don't want you.
It's still auction. Still an auction. And if you want to pay the most to buy that land, I think you still have that opportunity to do it. But the mayor doesn't want it. That's not a good sign.
No.
So,
not a good sign at all.
Look, I'm at this point, my switch has flipped. I suspect that we're going to have an NHL team in Salt Lake City next year, like next season, within the calendar year.
That'd be awesome.
It's crazy.
It'd be awesome. All right, stay tuned. We'll have more Jake and Ben coming up. Don't forget that we have What You Got Wednesday coming up at 11:30. Brian Taylor's going to join us at 11:50, and we've got Win Ticket Wednesday coming up next. So stay tuned, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
You're on the couch. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Ben, Sarah reminded us earlier that today is Wednesday, and that means it's a Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to win a pair of tickets to go see Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August the 3rd. Man, I love it. The concert season is coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
You know, I only make it to one or two a summer anymore. My calendar of concerts used to be a little more filled, but I'll tell you what, a few things better than a summer night.
Live music?
Jamming.
Do you recognize this song, Jake?
No. Is it a famous one, I'm guessing?
Yeah, this is one of the more popular ones. I just figured you might have heard it like in a grocery store or something, because it was pretty popular for a while.
All right. I believe it. There are a lot of things that are popular that I'm not aware of at all.
We're trying to keep you hip.
I appreciate that. No, Sam sounds like a pretty hip guy. Are you going to go?
Probably not. I like Sam Hunt, but he's not my favorite.
Is anybody coming this summer that you're particularly excited about?
No. I don't know. I haven't gone to concerts in a while. I feel like I've been prioritizing other things, and concerts haven't been on the priority list. I haven't even looked, honestly.
Really? I need to look more, too. I agree.
I will say, the second Rihanna says she's going on tour, I will be going.
You're going to find her.
All right. I'd go see Rihanna.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blues Traveler's coming. You ever seen Blues Traveler?
I have not.
Really good.
Yeah?
Well, that John Popper can play that harmonica like nobody's business. Isn't he extremely thin now?
Oh, is he? Has he dropped?
Well, I don't know. I think he got the surgery a long time ago, and sometimes you ebb and flow, you know what I mean?
Huh.
So I have no idea. But
it finally stuck.
But when I saw him originally, I saw him at I saw him at the Gallivan Center, which was an extremely cool place to see Blues Traveler. and he was very thin.
I like that Salt Lake has been a place to stop. And as we've been talking about hockey, it just continues to grow kind of your image, your understanding, your knowledge base that people have of you as a town. You know, some of these hockey towns that maybe have no reason to have much affiliation for Salt Lake City over the last 22 years since we had the Olympics might have a little bit more interest. The Canadiens excited to get a little more familiar with the state of Utah.
I gotta pay attention to who's coming. I gotta get on that, Ben. You know what? I really want to take my six-year-old to her first concert this summer.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So I got to pick the right one, though, because don't you know you go through life and you say, my first concert, right?
Korn.
That was yours?
No. I thought you'd maybe take your daughter to Korn.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like Korn when they were popular. Are they still a thing?
They're back.
How old are those guys? Those guys were 1,000 years old when they were popular.
Were they?
Always seemed that way.
Gen Xers, right? They're probably 50.
Are you going to see Korn?
I wasn't planning on it.
All right.
53. Which is the new 35.
Sure. Let's see. Is Trombone Shorty coming this year? That's the one I usually go to.
You just don't miss it, do you?
No, I don't. He's my favorite. And we have a kid's book of Trombone Shorty. I was kind of hoping that he might be Sadie's first concert, but it doesn't look like he's coming. Coming to Vegas in September.
Drive down.
Yeah. Maybe we'll make that happen. Anywho, sorry about that, Ben. But no concerts on your agenda. But you like those little venue concerts.
I haven't gone to a little venue concert in a while. Yeah, I need to go. I need to get out.
Terrible bands just struggling to put food on the table.
Get put in a headlock by somebody like I did last time I went to the show.
Where was that place again?
One of the ones over by the Gateway. I don't know what, I can't remember what it's called. But there's a couple of little
bricks
venues. Maybe. I couldn't tell you. I could tell you if I saw it. I wouldn't be able to tell you the name if you said it, because I know there's five names that are right over there and got put in a headlock in one of them.
Is Brick still a dance club? Did you ever go to Brick's when you were young?
I didn't, no.
I went to Brick's a bunch of times. Brick's was in, what's that movie, Way of the Gun? Have you ever seen that movie?
I haven't.
The Christopher McQuarrie-ridden Way of the Gun, you know what I'm talking about, with Ryan Felipe and Benicio del Toro? Like, that movie's filmed in Utah, and the opening scene of that movie is in.
In Brick's?
In front of Brick's.
Formerly Brick's.
But I don't think that exists anymore. Maybe it does.
I don't think so. I haven't heard anyone talk about it in a long time.
What about Axis? That was the other
Club
big one.
Club Axis. Deviate.
Deviate.
Yeah.
The Bay?
Area 51.
The Bay is now a restaurant. Area 51, the sign is still up, but I don't think it's a thing.
Yeah.
It was a thing a few years ago.
Yeah, it was?
Yeah, not that long ago, because I went one time in college.
How was it?
They have like a disco night.
Yeah.
So a lot of college students go to that.
Okay. All right. Way to go, Area 51. Still standing. Back in the late 90s, early 2000 techno club days.
What's the popular one that you went to for your bachelorette party?
Last year? It's changed names so many times. There was one called Karma. Sky is another popular one.
Yeah.
It's like
Ibiza
a dance club?
Is another popular one.
Not just a bar, but a dance club.
No, they're like actual
like a dance club.
Clubs. Yeah.
All right. I remember like Brick's back in the day. They had the 18 and overside and the 21 and overside.
I don't think that's a thing anymore. All the ones I've seen are
21 and over.
21 and up, but I could be wrong.
All right. See, we're hipping it up here, Ben.
Yeah, we're cool.
When was the last
we
time
sound
you went,
cool.
When was the last time you went to a dance club?
Honestly, I went like a month ago.
Of course you did.
He's still hip.
Yeah, of course.
I did. I've got some young people I know, and I went out and had dinner with some older friends, and then got an invite to go hang out with some younger
did
friends.
Did you take your glow sticks?
It's not that type of club.
No?
No.
Not a thing anymore?
I don't think you'd be welcome if you brought glow sticks anywhere. I was the old guy there. I absolutely was standing on the floor and looking around like, oh, it happened.
Yeah.
It happened, everybody.
Happened a while ago, actually.
The guy who's very, very rapidly approaching middle ages here.
Do you remember how
they all know it.
Do you remember how you viewed that guy in your 20s?
Absolutely, yeah. And now it rules. Yeah, I remember being like, who's that guy?
Who's that old guy creeping
around?
And
now I totally get why he does it. It's
like,
the best.
Oh.
Because you stop caring. I remember being 20 and being like, do people think I'm cool? Is that a thing? Like, You'd be 37. Oh, nobody cares.
No, I'm not worried. If I'm the old guy at the dance club, I'm not worried if people think I'm cool. I'm
no,
worried
that's what you worry about when you're 21 or 22. You're like worried about what other people think.
Those people do think that you're a creep. That you need to move on with life.
People are. I will say this,
and you're actually not really cling to youth guy. I'm not painting you in an accurate corner necessarily.
No, like I didn't wear crazy clothes.
There absolutely are cling to youth people that aren't coming off how they think they're coming off.
No, nor was I. I was not out perusing. But shout out to the young people now. It's a better scene than when I was younger, and used to go out. It's more relaxed. Like, people are dressed normal. They're kind of just presenting themselves. It seems a lot better than it used to, in my opinion. So I credit the young people. It's, like, less toxic than it was when I was 25.
I feel like Jake was never the guy that cared what people thought.
No. To not always. That's not always a compliment.
Still, I'm not.
Yeah.
What do you mean not always a compliment? I don't care what you think either.
Right. That's not always a compliment. It's not always a great thing.
I should be more concerned about others' thoughts about me. Not being courteous to them, but be more concerned about their opinion about me and my lifestyle?
Yeah.
I don't think that's
going to
happen.
No, that's not going to happen. No, that ship has sailed.
I don't think that's happening anytime soon. All right, stay tuned. More Jake and Ben coming up next. No, I didn't hit Peach.
We're going to be there on
Sarah,
Friday.
We are going to be there on Friday. Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, or simply drop by and see us on Friday, 2940 South, 300 West, Peach Doors and Windows. We'll have more coming up straight ahead. Also, What You Got Wednesday at 1130. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.